Go to a line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Love talking to this guy. He is rebuilding Ohio, and it's Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Dorsey, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, Flash. Heading into the 4th of July weekend, I cannot wait. Summer is officially here.
You know, I think the holiday began a week ago with the Cavaliers, more than a week ago. But the city is on fire with the Indians winning and you weren't here for the parade, were you?
No, I wasn't. I wish I could have came up, but I couldn't do it. I wish I could have.
There might have been room for one more person. it was Waldo. It was just amazing. It was so cool. We're basking in the glory, 52 years in waiting. And I got to say, I said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. The coolest thing that I saw, and I know Jim Brown, I've interviewed him, and it's just amazing just standing next to that legend and to see him pass that trophy over to LeBron, because he carried the torch for 52 years.
Oh, yeah.
He carried it all that time, and then LeBron gave him that hug on the stage. It brought a tear to my eye. It was just amazing to see.
I think it's great, you know, like you said, all that time, December 27th, 1954, last major sports championship, but who's counting? But to see, like you said, Jim Brown hand the trophy off to LeBron, and LeBron made good on his promise. He was going to bring a title to Cleveland and Northeast Ohio. It's just incredible. And I mean, I know hindsight's 2020, and it's easy to say this after the fact, but you know, I know there was friends of mine, and after game four, they were all kind of sullen. And I said, listen, I said, it's obviously the deck is not stacked in our favor. I said, but Draymond Green's out game five. We get them back home game six. Game seven is always a toss-up. You never know. It's just who plays well, and you know, and it's great that the block and Kyrie's three. You know, the block can take the place of Red Wright 88 and the drive and the fumble, and I think that's what Cleveland can build on going forward now. And like you said, you got the Indians too. It's incredible the run they have. You know, I think I was telling you off the air, I saw a stat the other day that they're the first team in Major League Baseball to go undefeated in a calendar month. They went undefeated at home in the month of June since 2004, so they're playing really, really well.
We love
really
it.
Well.
We love it. We love it. We love it. Okay. Hey, speaking of wins, I guess the Friedrichs case, which was a 4-4 tie with the Supreme Court, which meant it went to the lower court, in which it would have crushed, it would have hurt, it would have been right to work for a lot of people in the public sector. Now you're telling me that this is off the table for good now?
That's it. It seems like the Supreme Court's not going to revisit it. You know, when they were coming out with the other cases a couple days ago before they went on recess, they released that they will not revisit the forced dues case, and that's it. Their decision holds up, and the lower court decision holds up, I guess. So I don't think there was a lot of fear out there, but obviously the presidential election, you know, one of the biggest things is people are talking about the next president. We'll get to select one, maybe two or three Supreme Court justices. And that's huge for labor. And that's what I try to tell my members or anybody that I deal with, is that you see the court starting to come a little bit to the left now. It's been far right for the last 50 years, and it's went against labor, and it's went against working people, and a lot of the decisions have went against, you know, everyday people, and it's kind of been a right-leaning court. I think you're seeing that court start to come to the center, and maybe we'll even go a little bit left, and we can do that if we elect a president that will elect, you know, left-leaning Supreme Court justices. But I know that there was a fear out there. I don't know how big of a fear, but I heard a couple people talking that if Trump were to get elected and then, you know, he would appoint the ninth Supreme Court justice, this case could come back up. And then, like you said, it could mean national right to work. But this pretty much puts an end to it. The Friedrichs decision is final. The Supreme Court won't revisit it. Like we said, it reverted back to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And, you know, That's where it's at. So it still allows public sector unions to collect membership dues and fees as a condition of employment. So it's a big win for labor, and we haven't had very many in the last few years.
No.
It's a huge one.
No,
it's
we
a
haven't.
Huge one.
You know, and it's really interesting to watch the political dialogue going on right now, because as you know, the many in the Senate have refused to have any confirmation hearings for Merrick Garland, who is Obama's nominee. It's starting. The polling is reflecting. It's hurting those people that are supporting the GOP on this. Have you been watching that?
I have been watching it, and I had this discussion with somebody about a week ago, and former Governor Strickland, you know, he's been all over the state, but he's coming in to Ohio, and we're going to have, or coming into Columbus, and we're going to have lunch in the second week of July. But, you know, somebody asked me, they said, what's your opinion of the Portman Strickland race? And I said, 3 months ago, even 6 months ago, I would have said, no chance, you know, with all the money that, Senator Portman's going to have. But I just saw a stat the other day that Senator Portman spent $23 million on negative ads. Ted Strickland hasn't spent a dime on any ads yet, and the polling is dead even.
How about that?
So he spent $23 million and hasn't moved the needle. And his argument, and I think it's going to be the same argument he's going to have up until Election Day, that's not gaining traction, is going to be retread Ted. Ted cost, you know, the state of Ohio manufacturing jobs. Well, anybody with any common sense, no matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, knows that, you know, unfortunately, Ohio was swept up in a wave like many other states where we lost manufacturing jobs because the economy was down and unemployment skyrocketed. You know, there's a commercial out there about DHL in Wilmington, and I mean, you know, that was a company that was ran poorly, was bought by a company, I think, from Germany, and then was closed shop because it was not profitable. I mean, there's very little that anybody in government or even anybody in local government down there could have done to save those jobs. So, you know, a lot of that got put on the back of Governor Strickland, and I don't think it's really gaining traction, Portman's message, whereas what you just said, the message of, you know, do your job, Rob, you know, at least have hearings and have a vote. And then let's see where the cards lie. They're not even meeting with Merrick Garland. They're refusing to meet with him. They're refusing to interview him for confirmation. They're refusing to have confirmation hearings, and they're refusing to bring it up to a vote. And you're right. The more and more, and I know polling is testy and this and that, but the more and more I see, I know they were talking 3, maybe 4 Senate seats. I wouldn't be surprised if we win 5 or maybe 8 Senate seats and if we come really close to retaking the House, because I'm meeting with more and more older establishment Republicans who are saying that, you know, they're just not motivated to get out and vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, as much as they want to vote for their party, they're not motivated.
No.
You know, to get out and vote for Donald Trump. So, and I'm starting to see a lot more of the Bernie people really flock to Hillary, and I think Bernie's finally starting to help that process, coming out and saying he would vote for Secretary Clinton, and he's going to go out and he's going to help campaign for and stuff. And then Elizabeth Warren and Secretary Clinton in Hamilton County and Cincinnati last Friday was incredible. I mean, if you take those two around the state of Ohio and around Pennsylvania and around Florida and Michigan and Iowa and some of the battleground states, I think that you're really going to drum up a lot of support. And we as Democrats know when the voter turnout is high, we win elections. When it's low and in off-year elections, we lose. So I think they're going to do a good job getting the voter turnout. I'll tell you another stat that was interesting. This is kind of funny, but I got appointed about 3 months ago to the executive committee of the Union County Democratic Party. I live in Marysville, one county outside of Columbus, and there was three young ladies there last night who spoke to our group talking about the ground forces for Hillary. And I was looking at them, and I didn't say anything. I wanted to hear what they had to say. And I was like, gosh, there's three. I can remember in 08 and in 12, Obama only had one person in our county. I can remember in 2004, John Kerry only had one person in our county. And I can remember the grumbling in some of the red counties, like where I live, rural counties, were like, wow, we've only got one person from the national campaign. This isn't good. This isn't good. Hillary has three in Union County. And one of the young ladies said the stat that Hillary's campaign has more people on the ground in the state of Ohio alone, just in the state of Ohio, than Donald Trump has on the ground in the entire country.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's going to make a huge difference.
It's going to be registration. It's going to be voter turnout. And that's what those young ladies have been doing. They haven't been doing the parades. They haven't been doing the fairs. They haven't been doing any of that stuff. They've just been doing, you know, registration and voter turnout. That's all they've been doing.
Wow, that's amazing. So, I am still in awe over that number that she gave me on Portman. $23 million and that
$23 million in negative ads.
Yeah. And it hasn't moved the needle. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was a poor investment there.
And we know this is gonna be an expensive race. I think the Mandel Sherrod Brown race in 2012 was $45 million. I think this one will eclipse that. I can see
easy
Portman and some of the outside interest groups and outside money, because this is the number one target of the Democratic Party. I can see $70-75 million, and if Ted can win this race after having $75 million spent against him, That'll be incredible.
Oh, it'd be great to have him along with Sherrod Brown as our senators. Wouldn't that be nice?
Wow, I know. What a nice tag team duo.
I like that. Hey, let's talk about these smart city federal grants. I guess Columbus has won them. Maybe you could explain them for our listeners.
Well, we just mentioned a couple Democratic rock stars, and I tell you, Columbus has one too, and Mayor Andy Ginther. And I think it's like 138, 140 days in office, his first 6 months. He has just hit the ground running, and Columbus is truly becoming a city where young people and people want to live, work, and raise a family. And Mayor Ginther put together a great team to go out and get after the Smart City Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Smart City Grant was it's federal funding. It was a $40 million grant that goes towards helping cities, you know, advance into the future and increase transportation and stuff like that. And the mayor used his team and a lot of his initiative on what he wants to do in the city of Columbus, improving some of our poorer neighborhoods. And you do that by rebuilding infrastructure. And they had a heck of a pitch. They had people from business. They had people from labor. You know, I wrote a couple of letters on behalf of the Smart City Grants, attendance and functions and stuff. And Rory McGinnis, Emerald Hernandez from the mayor's office, and Mayor Ginther, they just led the charge and did a heck of a job. And we beat out San Francisco, Austin, Portland, Kansas City, Denver, and Pittsburgh, some heavy hitters.
Woo!
And, you know, I know you being from Cleveland and me being a Browns fan, anytime you can beat Denver at anything, I don't care what it is, you're pretty happy. So, and Pittsburgh, too. So that was huge that we beat those cities. And like I said, it's going to be $40 million as a Smart City Grant. There's another 10 on top of there that comes from the federal government. And then we also got matching business grants and local grants here from businesses in Columbus that's going to take the total up to $140 million that's going to go towards Columbus's infrastructure. So, you know, the local matching commitments, I think, of about $90 million, like I said, takes it up to $140 million. And it's going to be a game changer for the city of Columbus in Central Ohio, and hopefully it's going to help a lot of people in some of our poorer neighborhoods be able to get to places to where they can work, make a middle-class income with good wages and benefits, and help rebuild some of those neighborhoods and you know, be on the path to the middle class. That's what we're looking at, and that's what we're all about.
That's what it's all about.
They're also talking about some cool stuff like driverless cars and things like that, from the airport to downtown Columbus and to some of the shopping centers to downtown Columbus and stuff like that. So that stuff's going to be cool, too. And I talked to our IBEW business manager here, Ed Moore, and I know that when the Smart City people were here looking at Columbus and they were doing the check card, the grade card, they had a function here at the IBEW Training Center and took them on a tour of the facility and showed how we could train those workers that can help with a lot of this Smart City application. Like, there's lighting systems that, you know, emergency vehicles need to get through. The lights all turn green. They turn red everywhere else, so they stop accidents. All kinds of things like that. And IBEW members are the ones that are going to be, you know, constructing those lights and working on those fixtures and doing a lot of that wiring and stuff. So it's going to be a lot of work for a lot of building trades members here in Columbus and Central Ohio. And we're 100% on board. And like I said, I can't say enough about Mayor Ginther. He's really, you know, he stepped up to the plate, to use a sports analogy. You know, you bring a guy in off the bench and he stepped up in the last 6 months. You just wanted to put the ball in play. And he said, heck with this. And he just hit it out of the park. And that's what he's done. And he continues to do. And Columbus is just becoming it always has been, but it's becoming a really great place to live.
That's nice. So, the grant, the original grant, was $40 million, but you kind of indicated it's going to turn into $140 million?
Yeah, with local, the original grant was $40 million, and then there was another $10 million grant on top of that. I'm not sure where that came from. And then local businesses here and commitments did some matching stuff, along with some extra public money, and it makes a total $140 million that Columbus is going to use to upgrade their transportation network.
How about that? And here, now, Dorsey, how many times have you heard people say, what do we need the federal government for? They just get in the way.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is it's, we've talked about this on your show in the past. There's good taxes, there's bad taxes, there's good grants and bad grants. This is a great grant because this is going to be a job creator.
Right.
And like I said, it's going to help those neighborhoods. You know, when you give people in those neighborhoods the opportunity to make more than minimum wage, to make a living wage, then they take that money and they use it and they buy, you know, school supplies, school clothes. They buy cars. They reinvest in their home. They buy homes in their neighborhoods. They fix them up. And they do that by going to local hardware stores and local businesses and local restaurants. If they don't have that disposable income, they're not spending that money. And that's what happens to a lot of those neighborhoods in some of our largest cities. And that's why they kind of, you know, that's why they kind of shrink and go away.
Yeah.
So we need those people in those communities to keep making a middle-class income to keep those small businesses thriving.
That's what it's all about. All right, Dorsey, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some project labor agreement talk and also a recap of some political screening. It's all part of America's Workforce. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Later in the broadcast, we'll be linking up with one of the great reporters at Mother Jones Magazine talking about the chemicals in household products and some of the food that we're eating. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. The Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here.
A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line rejoin. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstructiontrades.org is the website. All right, talk to me about these project labor agreements for, what is it, the city of Columbus?
Yeah, well, you know, we use a lot of private investment project labor agreements with Honda of America, also American Electric Power here in Columbus and Central Ohio in the jurisdiction of the Columbus Building Trades. We're also in talks for a project labor agreement for a power plant just south of Columbus. There's a similar gas-fired power plant that's going on in Butler County just outside our jurisdiction. It's about a $600 million job, and they're using a PLA there. And a lot of people really don't understand what PLAs are, and I know we've talked about them at length on your show, but they're basically boilerplate agreements that are, you know, negotiated with the local building trades union, and they basically outline the guidelines and rules and procedure of the project and make sure everybody works together and it's going to flow on time. And, you know, break schedules are the same, holiday schedules are the same, and you know, it's really good. We also used one here at the Hollywood Casino because obviously the people from Penn Gaming wanted to make sure that their casino opened up on time and that the job was done safely and under budget. Well, we're starting to have these conversations with the city of Columbus. We've never used PLAs in the past. We have with Franklin County and the county commissioners, Huntington Ballpark, the Hall of Justice, places like that. But we've never used them with the city of Columbus, and we've got this new administration in now. We've got the leadership of Andy Ginther and president of city council, Zach Klein, some other, you know, members of city council that are pretty, you know, pro-labor. And we're trying to sell them on the benefits of using project labor agreements. And one of the biggest things that we talk about, like I said, is on time, under budget, but also done safely. But, you know, we can put in some goals in there for minority hiring, for local hiring requirements that can put people in these neighborhoods, you know, back to work, actually rebuilding and building some of these police stations, these libraries, these fire stations within their own community. So, you know, we talk about building trades workers how they come into the city or how they leave, or, you know, and they're retired and 40, 50 years later, they can drive by a building and they take great pride, you know, hey, I built that building, or I worked in that office building, or I built that brewery. And a lot of these kids and young adults in these neighborhoods can have that same pride. And I just think it's a way that we can work with the city to create jobs. We'll take care of the training. We'll take care of the wages. We'll take care of the benefits. But we need the jobs. That's what we need. And if we can have these project labor agreements, much like the city of Cleveland has used, mm-hmm. much like the city of Toledo just agreed 2 weeks ago, Toledo City Council and the mayor overwhelmingly agreed that anything $100,000 or more would be done under a project labor agreement in the city of Toledo. So we're not saying every job, and we're not saying $100,000 like the city of Toledo, but if they could give us a job or two, maybe a pilot project, to show what we can do and show how we can save the city money, just like we do private entities here in Central Ohio and just like we do with the county, then I think it's something that they'll really enjoy and the business community will see as a benefit too.
Did you see the story about the Hilton Hotel here in Cleveland?
I did see the story of the Hilton Hotel. That is incredible.
$20 million under budget and all union.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I've had this conversation with people from Ohio State. I've had this conversation with other public entities. You're required by law to pay prevailing wage. Why wouldn't you use a boilerplate project labor agreement too? So not only are you getting cheapest, but you're also getting cheapest. You're also getting cheapest and best. And like I said, it's done on time and under budget and done safely. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because you have the taxpayers' money that you're trying to invest and preserve, and you want the biggest bang for the buck. You know, you want to spend it wisely.
Yeah. So. And you've got conservative corporations like Walmart and Disney who have used project labor agreements when they expanded the amusement park in Florida. And Walmart, I mean, Walmart's notoriously anti-union, and they're going the same route. They understand. If they're going to save money with unions, they're going to go with it. It's pretty simple.
That's exactly it. Just like Honda of America, you know, the two things that we've talked about on your show in the past, they wanted a local workforce. They didn't want welders, pipe fitters, and electricians from Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky. They wanted people from Union County and neighboring Logan and Franklin County building that paint booth project. They wanted the money to stay there and be reinvested in the community, and they also wanted the job done under budget and ahead of schedule, and that's where we're at right now as that project's going. We've still got about 22 months left on that project, but we're on time, we're under budget, and we're way ahead of schedule, and that's what it's all about. So I think a couple weeks ago, Matt Salazzi and Rob Dorrance from ACT Ohio came in. They did a presentation along with myself and the president of our council, Scott Hammond, and there was people there from the city, mayor's office, from finance, and it was a great PowerPoint presentation. We had handouts, we took questions. And I think that whatever fears they had, I think we alleviated some of them. Now it's just basically getting out, selling our story, especially to the business community and some of the contractors, some of the general contractors and construction managers, and letting them know what a great benefit using a PLA is on city projects. And that's what we're going to try to do. But hopefully we can get a project here in the near future, something that we can test out on, and that's what we're trying to. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're shooting for. The other thing, too, as I talk to people around the city, obviously like most of your large cities, is we have a huge African-American and minority urban population here in Columbus. And one of the fears is that, you know, project labor agreements might shut out minority contract participation. And I let them know, obviously, that there's no way that would happen. If anything, it would encourage minority participation, because obviously we want our local unions and our contractor associations to resemble the communities that we work in. But, you know, if you want minorities working on that project, that can be addressed in PLAs through, like I said, minority participation goals and stuff like that. But another thing is this, and this is what encouraged them. You know, one of our locals here that I oversee, Plumbers and Pipefitters Local 189, that's a member of our building trades, you know, they have 96 signatory contractors. 30% of their contractors are union members. So it's people that started out in the apprenticeship, went to school, learned the trade, became foremen, maybe became estimators, salesmen, project coordinators, or superintendents, and then got along in their career and said, you know what, I could do this, and went out and started their own contracting company, started their own company. And that's what we can do with kids here in Columbus City Schools and a lot of the minorities in these neighborhoods. A lot of them have that entrepreneurial spirit. We can educate them for free, bring them along, teach them a trade, teach them a career, and then they can use that and possibly go into business for themselves.
Yeah, sky's the limit there.
Appealing to a lot of the members on Columbus City Council.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, we got a couple minutes left here, and I know you want to touch on some political screening. Maybe give us a quick recap there.
We've talked a lot about politics today. Obviously, it's a huge presidential election year. Here in our building trades, we had 2 days of screening the last couple of weeks. We did three Ohio Senate seats that fall in our jurisdiction. We did some Ohio House seats that were up and are in our jurisdiction. We also did county commissioners. We have 8 counties in our jurisdiction, and 2 commissioners from each county were up. So we screened in about 28 races. So it was a long 2 days, but it was a great opportunity to get elected officials and candidates in here, explain to them the core issues of the building trades, what's important to us, you know, good paying jobs, the importance of prevailing wage, project labor agreements, fair contracting standards, and also, you know, hopefully their opposition to right to work for less. And we use it as an educational forum, too. We want to learn about them, but we want them to learn about us. And it was a great job. We had a nice committee, 7 volunteers, helped me with the screening. Just an incredible process, and it was great to be able to sit down and talk to a lot of these elected officials and candidates and, like I said, get through our core issues to them, because I think a lot of them have their ideas on where they want to go or where they want to be, especially on how they can help the people that they represent. Now, their theory may be a little different than ours, and that's where we try to come together and get them agreed to see, you know, that the unions and the building trades offer a direct path to the middle class and a career for their constituents, and I think that that's what they're starting to see. It's all about workforce development and job creation, and we want to show them how we can help them with that.
And it's all about outreach. And Dorsey, that's one thing I like about you, because you can't just preach to the choir. You got to go out there and you got to say, hey, maybe you don't understand what unions are all about. And when you take them to that training center and you walk them through and you show the training that goes on, and you talk about a free education, and it's just that, and then the safety that's involved, I would imagine you probably notice that there's like a wow factor there. It's like, I didn't know that. You know, this makes this kind of thing makes sense. I'm sure you felt that along the way, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of the tours we've done here, or at the plumbers and pipe fitters or the sheet metal workers, I've gotten to walk on some of the tours with them, whether they're county commissioners, township trustees, city council people, mayors, or state senators and state representatives. They're just amazed. I mean, my own state senator, Dave Burke, who I've gotten to know very well, he's term limited now. This is his last election for state senate, but he's a pharmacist by trade, and he's a small business owner. His wife and himself own a pharmacy in Marysville, in the town in which we live. And it's like he said, he goes, a lot of what you guys do, the training, the continuing education, he goes, I can relate to what I do. And he goes, and then, like we talked about earlier, you know, if you get somebody that's really good at what they do and thinks, man, I would like to tackle this myself or do this, they can open their own small business or open their own pharmacy. And he related it a lot back and forth, and it was really great. It was really good to talk to him and hear his ideas and thoughts. And he loves being able to come and tour our facilities and see what we're doing. And like I said, the continuing education. You know, the day that we had the screening, it ran into the evening, and there was about 100 adults coming in for classes that night, and one of the candidates said, well, wow, you know, I can't believe there's that many apprentices in here tonight. And I said, these aren't apprentices, these are journeymen taking continuing education classes in the summer, because it keeps them on top of their skill,
right,
on top of their trade, on top of their game, and it makes them more employable.
That's what it's all about. That's what we want.
Yep.
All right,
yep,
Dorsey.
You're absolutely right.
We're going to have to run here. We want to kick off the July 4th holiday weekend here, and we got another interview to do. But I just wanted to let you go. You be safe this holiday. Enjoy it. Enjoy the glory of the Cavaliers Nation here in Cleveland, Ohio, and the Go Tribe. That's all I can say right now.
That sums it up the best. I cannot wait to talk to you again in the month, and I want you to give me a good recap of how the city of Cleveland, because we've already had the experience with the parade and the winning the championship and all the wins with the Indians, but let me know how the city of Cleveland took care and handled the Republican convention. I can't wait to talk to you about that in a month.
We'll do that, okay? You take care.
All right. Thank you so much.
Dorsey Hager on our live line. Dorsey, of course, executive director, executive secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find them online at columbusconstructiontrades.org.